We are here again with another installation to our Voices of Pueblo 45 Degrees series, where we work with a local artist to dig deeper into the meaning of each mural making up the Pueblo Levee project. Running along the Arkansas River, these murals lean 45 degrees back and are up to 28 feet tall and nearly four times as wide. This podcast is brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal. Thank you for listening. Aspen Pounds is here to discuss his contributions to the project. So let's start with, what is your connection to Pueblo?
Well, my family's from Pueblo. I lived here a little bit as a kid. I've gone to school here. I went to college here at CSU. So I have a long connection to Pueblo.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And, you work at Karmic Connection, right?
Correct.
Awesome. And what's that like? What's your role there?
I manage our social media. I'm also the event and classes coordinator, planner. So I do a lot of stuff there in addition to being a sales clerk and helping everybody out in the store. So, but it's a pretty fun job. It's been challenging at times, a little out of my comfort zone sometimes, but I learn new things every day. And the customers that come in are great. The people that I work with are great. So it's a lot of fun.
And for listeners who aren't very familiar with the shop, can you explain what y'all do there?
Yeah, Karmic Connection, it's a metaphysical supply shop. So we sell things like crystals and essential oils, candles, books, things like that. We also have classes that we put on. So we do like Reiki classes or channeling or psychic work or anything like that. We have a couple of office rooms there in the building too, where people do a massage out of, or psychic reading kind of things. So we do a lot of different stuff there. Karmic Connection's been in Pueblo for, I want to say, going on 13 years now. We used to be down on Union, and the owner of the shop, Don Thompson, is her name. She had a cute little shop there on Union, but it was tiny. And so now we're in a bigger location over on Abriendo, right across from the library.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. And so you've done at least one mural. How many have you done, actually?
Just the one. I'm getting ready to start a second one.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So if you could describe for our listeners what the mural is.
Okay. It's a pretty large piece. I want to say it's 36 feet wide. And it's a blue and yellow background with several aspen trees. And there's faces hidden in the trees. That's the name of the piece, is Forest Faces. The blue and back, or blue and yellow background. I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do with the background at first. I knew I wanted to do these aspen trees, but first I just thought kind of like a sky sort of theme. But I wanted to tie it in with the murals that it was next to, because it's in between two other murals that were already completed. And so I wanted to kind of try to make that transition like seamless. So the one on the left hand side has like a frog with the sunburst coming out of it. And so I connected those rays of that sunburst into my mural. And I went with blue and yellow because at the time when I first started the mural is when the war in Ukraine had started. And so I chose those colors just to sort of represent solidarity with Ukraine.
And it also provides a historical tie, I think, to when that started and when your mural started.
So that's true. That's neat. Yeah.
You know, because the whole point is of this Levee mural project is the longevity of it, you know, because we did lose a lot of history when they had to fix it up and make all those changes to it and update it. And so, you know, ideally, these murals will last as long, if not longer. So,
yeah, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
That's neat. So what inspired you to between the aspens and the faces? Like, what drew you to that kind of concept?
I do a lot of like aspen tree art. I've done one piece prior to this where I really had a lot of faces and stuff in it. And it was a very popular piece that people really liked because you could sit there and really look at it. And that's something I wanted to do with this mural, because a lot of people like just walk by or will ride their bikes by and everything, and they'll look over and be like, oh, that's a nice pretty picture, and they'll just kind of keep going. I wanted to give people something that they had to like actually stop and look at for a little while. You know, you couldn't just soak it in passing. So yeah, I do a lot of that kind of face work, especially with aspen trees, because their broken branches look like eyes. And so, you know, if you're in the forest a lot, and I've spent a lot of time in the forest, you start to see that. You start to see faces in the trees, and it becomes just a really interesting concept and kind of connects us in a human way to something that exists in nature. And that's something that I try to do with my artwork. I feel like that's sort of a higher purpose to it, is to connect people with nature.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, it's kind of interesting because you could look at it from a startling perspective of like, oh, there's a face. Or you can look at it from a welcoming perspective of like, oh, a familiar face.
Yeah.
And so it has that dual purpose of, you know, how do you interpret it?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Awesome, awesome. And so you mentioned that you do other work. Was this your first ever mural?
No, actually. I started doing murals when I was in high school. Wow. I went to high school at Rye High School. I don't know if any of those are still there, but I kind of started like a unofficial art club when I was in high school. And that was something we would do. We would just paint murals, usually in the art room or at other places around the school, too. So that's kind of how I got my start with doing murals. I don't know where we got the idea that we're like, hey, let's paint the art room, but it sounded like a cool thing to a 16-year-old. So that's what I did.
That's awesome. Hmm. Yeah, that's fun. I didn't know, you know, a lot of people kind of either fall into mural work, or it's interesting to see how people approach it, especially with such a big project such as this.
Yeah. Personally, I've always loved murals because it's a form of public art. And I love public art. I want art to be something that's accessible to everybody, not just, you know, $1,000 gallery piece that then hangs in somebody's living room. I think public art is the most relatable kind of art, and it really helps to enrich our communities and beautify our communities.
For sure, for sure. And so outside of mural work, what do you work on?
I mostly do acrylic paintings, and I like painting on wood. Wood's kind of my favorite. Yeah.
Are they, you said you primarily work with aspens.
I do a lot of nature scenes too, though. So a lot of flowers, different plants and stuff like that.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Are you displayed anywhere?
Not currently, no.
Oh, okay. Cool. we were discussing before the podcast started recording that, it took you quite some time to finish your mural. Do you want to describe the process and how that worked out?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't really know what I was getting into when I decided to take this project on, or how big it would be. I thought, oh, I'll be done in like a month or two. And it ended up taking like 6 months, just because of the size of it, and largely working alone on doing that. It was quite the process, that and having to rappel down the wall and just the physicality that it takes to do something like that while also painting. You know, it was a little bit of a strain. So I could only handle like a couple hours at a time before my body was like, nope, we've had enough.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it took me about 6 months total to complete it.
Wow. Yeah. Where exactly is this mural?
It's pretty much right on the other side of Dutch Clark Stadium. They just built along the trail there like a new culvert. So it's like right across from that culvert that they just put in there. There's a lot of trees that kind of obscure it, so it's actually kind of hard to see like in the summertime and everything, but it also kind of creates a cool effect because then the trees of the mural blend in with the trees that are like growing in the middle of the river. But really, wintertime is probably the best time to go down there and fully see the whole thing.
Awesome. Yeah, so it kind of sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. So how did you get into art? You said you started in doing mural work in high school, but, you know, where did that begin?
I started doing art at like a really young age. I'd say probably since I could first hold a crayon, I was doing art. And I read a lot of comic books when I was a kid. Every time I'd go to the gas station, my dad would buy me a comic book. And so that was kind of my entryway into art, really, was through comic art. And that's how I kind of learned and taught myself, is I would find a panel in a comic book, and then I would try to replicate that as best I could just by looking at it. And I really kind of taught myself how to draw with that. I had aspirations, I think, at one time of being a comic book artist, but life took me in different directions. But yeah, since I was like a little kid, I've always had an interest in art.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And when did you get into acrylic art?
I want to say sometime during high school, because up until, or not high school, but in college, up until that point, I'd done like mostly drawing, focusing on kind of that comic book aspect. And then as you take the art courses, you have to take like painting and sculpture and stuff like that. And so I really kind of fell in love with the color aspect of painting, which is something that I hadn't worked with before. And kind of incorporating that into interior design just a little bit too. I really like those strong pops of color, which I think also kind of ties into that comic book background too, is that sort of bold graphic design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to it draws the eye to be able to comic books are unique because they have to express a story, right, visually, and then also create a dynamic to it, mm-hmm, because a lot of it, you know, is action, right? And mm-hmm, so having to work through that and be able to just 2D on a piece of paper show that something crazy is happening, right, takes a lot of skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's often regarded as a low form of art, but it's just as challenging as any other form.
Yeah, it's definitely a different way to tackle the situation. Mm-hmm. So that takes a whole different set of brain cells to be able to express that. Express right, those stories. So it'd be interesting to see how do you think that ties into your current work?
Well, definitely I use a lot of those comic book design elements, such as like bold lines and bold colors. But like you're saying, too, creating some sort of narrative. And I don't necessarily do that with every piece. Sometimes I do just paint a pretty picture, you know. But in this mural piece, I feel like there's something more going on with the faces. And that's open to interpretation. I'm not going to like spell out a story and say, this is exactly what's going on. I want you to look at it and, you know, tell me what you see. What's the story that it tells you? Mm-hmm. But there's definitely something going on there in some sort of narrative format.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. It's very compelling to look at, to figure out, you know, how you chose the faces, why am I seeing this face over that face, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, like you said, it's kind of a create your own story situation, mm-hmm, but it is still a living narrative.
Right.
So you said you're working on another mural?
Yeah, I'm going to be starting another one here soon, a smaller piece this time that hopefully I can get some more people to help me out with too. And this piece is going to be kind of like I describe it as like a world tree sort of design. So it's going to have like incorporations of the four seasons and the phases of the moon. So it's a very sort of nature, spirituality centered kind of piece. Again, probably showing that element of time, but in a different way.
Mm, yeah, for sure. Is that inspired by your work at Karmic Connection, or is it?
No, not necessarily. It's more my own spiritual views and kind of just how I view that in relationship to our experience with nature.
For sure, for sure. And where is this mural going to be?
So it's going to be a little further west than my current one. So just up past Dutch Clark Stadium a little bit. There's a little grove of trees that's on the other side that's kind of directly opposite. Again, I get to tie into that tree aspect of mm-hmm, the surrounding nature, because that's part of it too, is where these murals are located in their relation to the environment. And that's something that I try to show in my work as well, is connecting people with nature and how it does integrate into the environment. It's now part of the environment.
For sure, with the incorporation, yeah. You know, to be able to, yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people have, throughout my experience of interviewing for these podcasts, a lot of people have a very almost spiritual connection to their experience of actively creating the mural, mm-hmm. Especially being close to nature on the Arkansas River. Do you have any experiences similar to that?
Absolutely. With the last mural that I did, I was fortunate enough to be right by osprey nest. So it was really cool. They were always out and about, you know, fishing in the river and everything. And I'm a country boy, really. I live in the city now, but I'm not really a city guy. So having that experience to get out onto the Arkansas, which is really in the middle of Pueblo, you're surrounded by this urban environment. And it's kind of this little natural oasis that just runs along the river. So it became kind of like a Zen meditation every time I would go out there and paint on the wall, because I got to just have that sort of peaceful experience with the water flowing behind you and everything. So, yeah, definitely a strong spiritual and natural connection to that location. And I think that's why I wanted to do another mural, because I sort of got kind of addicted to it, you know, going out there. That became like my weekly little retreat. I got to go out onto the levee and paint and just be by the river, and it was very peaceful.
Yeah, it's from someone who just has an interest in arts, doesn't necessarily have talent in arts, even the stories from people who have been able to do a mural makes me go, maybe I could come up with something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm like, maybe I should just volunteer, you yeah. know, just hand me a paintbrush.
So, well, you're more than welcome to come help me out with this one.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, there's some people who were able to get it done like 2 weeks. And I'm like, how do you do that? Oh, an army.
Yeah.
So awesome. Yeah. But it just sounds like a lot of fun. Like it's, you know, like people. In the community get to view it and have that experience
right.
of getting into nature and viewing it. But then the people who are creating it get to have that unique experience of working with art and nature.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you just mentioned something about people experiencing it by walking along the river. And I think probably a unique experience that ties in with that is getting to see these murals transform. So if you go by there on a frequent basis, if you, you know, ride by every day, I used to ride my bike to work every day, and I'd go past that section of the levee and everything. So I got to see the evolution of these things on a daily basis. And I think it's kind of a cool process for people, just to see that unfold, you know, and kind of wonder what is it going to be and what is it going to become?
Yeah, that is an interesting perspective, because when you think about it, like when you go to a gallery, unless it's like a live painting gallery mm-hmm. event, you always see the finished product.
Right.
And so you have your only interpretation of it, which is when you see it, when it's done.
Mm-hmm.
But as it's being created, you have an idea of like, oh, it's going to be this. And then you run by it again. You're like, oh, they're doing this now.
Right.
And so your interpretation of it is evolving as the painting evolves.
Yeah.
So that provides an interesting, like, additional experience that, like, say, a gallery couldn't provide.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. That's a lot of fun. So I figured out my question. My question is how did you come across the Levee Project?
I'm sure I saw it on Facebook somewhere at some point. I can't remember exactly where, just the call for artists. And, it's something that I wanted to do for a long time. When I was in high school, they used to take the art students down to the levee, the old levee, and they would paint on that. And I never got that experience, because I was always doing my own murals inside the school while they were out doing that. So it was always kind of a goal of mine, really, to paint on the levee, especially since it once was in the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's largest mural. And they're trying to get that record up again. So it's kind of cool to be involved in that, you know, and to strive for a Guinness World Record. So, yeah, I always wanted to do it. I saw the opportunity came up on Facebook, and I submitted a design and got approved. So that's how it happened.
Awesome. So I've heard that there's some specifications about the application process and like how you get approved and stuff. For listeners who are maybe considering approaching the project themselves, I know that you did it basically on your own. So there's been some concerns I've heard from other people that they may not know a whole team of people to help them, or maybe they only want to tackle it themselves and don't want to hand over a brush to someone else. So yeah. I think it'd be interesting to hear from you as an individual working on the project individually. How was that like approaching the whole project from concept, introduction, pitch, all the way to the end?
It's honestly not that different than doing a normal painting. It's just on a much larger scale. I usually start out with some sort of sketch concept sort of kind of thing. Maybe do like a rough draft sort of painting just to kind of figure out where things are going to go and the colors and all that. But it's nice in a way being sort of the only person that's working on this, because you do get that creative control, you know, and you can make the decisions as you go along. It's also a lot of work doing it by yourself. It would definitely be nice to have help. And I did have some help on this last one that I did. My husband came out and filled in some of the color for me. So that was nice. But yeah, without a team or a few people, it's going to take some time to do it by yourself. And that's something that I realized going along was this is going to take longer than I thought. You know, and I just became comfortable with that. Takes as long as it takes, you know. I can't exactly find a lot of people to come out and help. It is hard to sort of find that team. Mm-hmm. Helps if you know a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And then, too, like I said, with the physicality of that, there's a degree of athleticism, I guess, that comes with having to scale down the wall. I'm almost 42 years old, so it was a little difficult for me. So if you can find someone younger and who's in good shape to help you out, that would be good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's, throughout these interviews, there's been a lot of discussion about like the various like problems that they come across, which is like one of our very first interviews, I believe it was Shannon, she had a problem with, she gets burned real easily.
Oh, yeah.
And so she was having to cover up a lot. And then that was causing heat problems. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the reflection of the light onto the artist, right? While mm-hmm. you're writing, while you're drawing, or while you're painting, there's a lot of reflection from the water that you don't really account for.
Right.
And so that, but there is like a plethora of other issues, like dropping your phone into the river and stuff like that. Yeah, it's interesting to see that like that you can run into so many of these issues, and it changes for each project. And then here, I want to do another one.
Yeah.
So
well, now we figured out how to do it. So
yeah, you know. Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a learning process, and it's interesting all the other hangups that everyone else has had. Mm-hmm. And then again, the I want to do it again. So, yeah. Getting back to the subjects of your art, can you elaborate on your connection to nature?
Sure. Well, I grew up mostly in Rye, so I've lived in the mountains most of my life, and it's a different experience, certainly, from living in the city. But you sort of see the more time that you spend in nature, how interrelated everything is, how interconnected we all are, and how very dependent we are on the environment. Even just in our current location here in Pueblo, we're still really dependent on the mountains to provide that consistent snow every year that then feeds the rivers, that then flow through the city and then out into the fields. And that's where we get our food. And so it's like this whole process that we're all really involved in. I think it's sometimes easy for us as human beings to really not be aware of that or to think that we're somehow outside of that or that we're somehow not part of the environment or the world that we live in. You know, we tend to get stuck in our heads a lot as human beings. And that's part of what I want my art to address, is that art and human connection that we don't always acknowledge, even though it's always there, that we're always a part of it.
For sure, for sure. You do a lot of aspen trees. So why aspen trees in particular? Like, what draws you to those particular trees?
I just think they're pretty cool. They're awesome. They're beautiful trees, for one thing. Like, the fall colors in Colorado with the aspens, it's one of the things that we're just known for. The bark is such an interesting color and texture. It has like that powdery kind of film on it. Sometimes it looks really white. Sometimes it can be really green. And then two, tying into the whole how we're all connected with nature aspect, aspens are one of the largest living organisms on the planet. They have an interconnected root system that they spread through. In Utah, there's the giant aspen grove Pando. That's, you know, like this huge, huge organism that takes up several miles. And so that's really cool. So I just think that trees, especially how much life and everything that they provide, are super awesome. But aspens being this mega organism that's all interconnected, I just think is a really cool concept.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Like you said before, how we're so heavily dependent on nature, it's thinking about us as like part of that macro organism,
right?
You know, that, you know, even if we're up here and not in the dirt and we're doing our own thing, we're still connected, and that we're still reliant on that whole process.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like aspens have roots that go underground that connect each other, we have like invisible roots that are connecting all of us too.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So do you spend a lot of time in nature then, or as often as you can?
As often as I can. Yeah. I live in the city now, so I don't get to spend quite as much time as I'd like to. I always try to escape at least once a week if I can. But, yeah, growing up and prior to living back in Pueblo again, I spent a lot of time up in nature, a lot of solitary time, a lot of like, really sort of reclusive areas. I used to work as a camp host for a long time. So I was over on like the Spanish Peaks area, and you're out in the middle of nowhere, you know, by yourself a lot of times. So it can be a little, if you're not used to it, it can be unsettling, but it also brings a kind of clarity and peace of mind that's hard to get in an environment where you're constantly surrounded by people.
Mm-hmm. Especially man-made things.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like, you know, obviously there's some, like, beauty with man-made things of, like, a human could make that. That's great and everything. But then there's also the human connection of it being like, well, I'm a human too, you know? And you're like, you know. But then you see nature and that's a whole other rodeo, you know?
Right.
And so you're like, oh, I don't think I could ever come up with that kind of concept. And you look at a mountain range and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it provides an incredible sense of grounding in terms of like a humbling, you know, and that, you know, there's other works at play here, you know, there's
absolutely
not just human people, et cetera, just running the show. It's that we're on the surface, we're doing our own thing, and then all of this is existing outside of it.
Right. And we're really at the whim of nature, too. We like to think that we're in control or that we're running the show, but we are absolutely not. You know, Mother Nature is in control. We're just all riding on this rock through space, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting when you think about where the murals are on the levee, you know, which is why we had the levee in the first place, because nature took over, you know. Right. And then again, with the update that they had to do, you know. Man-made stuff isn't gonna last. Nature prevails, you know.
Right. The
Jurassic Park quote, you know, nature finds a way. You know, so it's kind of like in a way you could say that it's making a mark and saying like, you know, nature exists, but so do I. But it can also be a way of saying, you know, eventually this will you know, decay. And that's okay, you know, but let's enjoy what we can bring to the picture while we can, you know?
I think that's what makes it beautiful is the fact it's impermanence, you know? Mm-hmm. So you only have a time to enjoy it, however long that is. There's a form of art, like a sand painting that Tibetan monks will do, Buddhist Tibetan monks. And it's a cool process if you've ever seen it. And just the intricacy and the time that they put into doing that and coming up with these beautiful designs. And then when they're done, they wipe it all away. Mm-hmm. Because the beauty is its impermanence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And so, you know, while it was sad to lose so much history and, you know, all that work and that great connection to the community and that record, it's I found a sort of beauty in it, having specifically Cynthia Ramu as the older muralist, the one of the original muralists, mm-hmm. Being able to come in and then bring about this new record, this new story that we get to have. And so it's, you know, kind of a beauty of like continuance, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and it's almost like a phoenix in a way, you know, rising from that destruction, mm-hmm. Just like how the levee was created in the first place was mm-hmm. a result of destruction, and then having to take down the old mural. Well, out of that process was birthed something new that now we get to experience, you know, as it's evolving.
For sure, for sure. And like, while I would love for these murals to last as long as possible, you know, it's still... That's a pretty intense river.
Yeah.
So it's kind of humbling, again, to keep that in mind. You know, nature prevails. Right. So, yeah. So having that interconnection that between, you know, visitors looking at the murals and the muralists making the murals and then the mural project itself right next to the Arkansas, like all of that is able to create this merging, you know, between nature and humanity. So it's really neat being able to tie those things together. And especially from your perspective of working with nature as subjects is, I imagine, an incredible process.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it tells a whole story, like just the process of the levee and everything that it's gone through. And the story that all the murals are telling on it, too. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get to be involved in this storytelling process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as a, you know, an art enjoyer, being able to do this podcast and being able to, like, flesh out that story even further, it's really great to be able to, you know, do a historical marking of this process individually with each artist is an incredible process to be able to further that impact.
Yeah. And hopefully these podcasts last for a long time and, you know, generations from now, they'll be able to listen back on on this whole process. And
oh, yeah, for sure. Because we didn't get to have that kind of direct documenting.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. For the first mural. So, you know, we get this world record, then we have all of these podcasts. So, yeah. Thank you for being a part of history.
Absolutely. So. Well, thank you for doing this and for creating this history.
Thank you for taking the time to come on our 45 Degrees podcast. Listeners, go check out Aspen's art, whether that's by walking by the mural, checking out his other work online or in person. If you like this podcast, please share it with a friend and give us a follow on your podcast platform. You can find him on Instagram at RangerAspen13 or on Facebook at Greenhorn Mountain Art. Again, if you want more background information on the Levee Project, go listen to our first episode with Cynthia Ramu, one of the OG muralists, keeping our levee vibrant. Thank you so much for listening.